So what I want to do today is I want to share a few thoughts from one of this week's readings that I really believe will change my life. I really believe it will change the life of this church. It's that serious. As I read it, I said, God, wow, that's amazing. But here's the deal. It's not enough just to read it. How many people know you got to apply it to your life? You got to put feet to your faith, okay? You got to put feet to your faith. And the reading that I'm referring to was on day 7. And the reading on day 7 was entitled, Put on Your Waders. Does anybody remember that chapter, Put on Your Waders? And I realize there's a lot of people here today that didn't have the opportunity to read this chapter. So what I want to do real quick is I want to read the opening story in this chapter, just the opening story on page 1. And the context is this. It was years ago, and there was, it was probably about 50 years ago, there was a drought in Mississippi. So what happened is the farmers that were living in that area gathered together at a local church to pray to God for rain to come, okay? Let me pick it up. It says, when a drought threatened to destroy a season of crops, a rural church with many farmers in the congregation called for an emergency prayer meeting. Dozens of farmers showed up to pray. Most of them wore their traditional overalls, but one of them showed up wearing waders. He got a few funny looks, just like Noah when he was building the ark. But isn't that faith at its finest? If we genuinely believe God is going to answer our prayer for rain, isn't that exactly what we would wear? Why not dress for the miracle? I love the simple, childlike faith of that old seasoned farmer. He simply said, I don't want to walk home wet. And he didn't, but everybody else did. That's what I'm talking about. I think that is outstanding. And as I was reading this chapter and the remainder of the chapter, it just really began to stir up something in my heart deeply, okay? And I believe it's going to be something that will change my life. Hopefully it will be something that will pour over and change our church. And hopefully it will change the remainder of my life, okay? And that is this. This is what I want you to hear, and that is that when God is calling us to do something, it might be something that we read in His Word that He's saying, hey, you need to live like this, you need to practice this, you need to do this. We can read something in God's Word, or there's times that He lays something on our hearts. How many people have had an impression upon your heart? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And here's what I'm discovering. When those moments in my life occur, it's not enough just to pray. Should I pray? Everybody say, absolutely yes. I should pray. But how many people know prayer isn't enough? There's times that I got to act upon what God lays on my heart to do. I think there's a lot of times people pray about something, they pray about something, they pray about something, they pray about something. You get the point. And I believe there's times that God's up in heaven and He's saying, hey, just do it. Get busy and do something, okay? So I love what Batterson says, and this quote is on the screen. The next quote, Batterson says this. He says, we can pray until our knees are numb, but if our praying isn't accompanied by acting, then we won't get anywhere. We need to put feet to our faith. I love that. You can pray until you're blue in the face, and I believe in prayer. I believe there's power in prayer. It's supernatural. God responds to faith, to prayer. But there's a time that you got to stop praying, and there's a time that you got to start moving. You got to start doing some things. Is everybody hearing what I'm saying this morning? Say amen. Amen. All right. So why is it important that we put feet to our faith? Why is it important that we put feet to our faith? Think about that. Why is that so important? I thought about that this week. Why is that important? Well, a lot of times it's obedience. We want to be obedient. But I also think that when we put feet to our faith, that's when God realizes that we mean serious business. I believe God says, oh, they're not only going to pray about it, they're doing something. Wow, they're serious about what they're praying about. They're serious about this, and they're going to get engaged with doing something about it, okay? So what we're going to do today, we're not only going to talk about a book, we're going to go to the book. So if you have the book with you, which is called the Bible, I want to share an Old Testament story that talks exactly along the lines of what we read this week. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the Old Testament book of Joshua. It's at the beginning of your Bible. Turn to chapter 3. Chapter 3 of the book of Joshua. I want you to find that so you can follow along. Before we read chapter 3, we need to lay some important groundwork to make sure everybody's caught up to speed. We know that in the Old Testament, God had his chosen people. They were named the Israelites. They were God's chosen people, but they were held captive in Egypt for 400 years. God's people in captivity in Egypt. They call out. God hears their prayers. He raises up a leader named Moses. And Moses goes before Pharaoh and says these words, "Let my people go." And that's exactly what happens after a long period of time. And the last step of freedom is they walk through the Red Sea as though they're walking on dry ground. And soon as they cross over in through the Red Sea, they enter a place called the wilderness. Just think about that, the wilderness. And actually, the Bible tells us that the children of God lived in the wilderness for a period of 40 years. Most scholars believe that that should have been a trip that just took a couple of days, a couple of weeks at the most. But they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And you say, well, why did they wander in the wilderness? They wandered in the wilderness because they were a disbelieving generation. They didn't believe that God was able to do what he said he could do. They were a faithless, hard-hearted people, okay? So as a result, what happened is that all this whole unbelieving generation, they died in the wilderness. They weren't able to see the promise of God that he gave to Abraham over 400 years earlier, that I'll bless you in your generations, but they weren't able to do that because they were disobedient. So what happens, the story moves on and that generation passes away, and now there's a new generation that's filled with faith. They're excited. They believe God will do what he says he will do. And here's the issue. Moses is now dead. Even Moses himself wasn't able to enter into the promised land. We're told that he went to the mountain. He looked into the promised land, but he was never able to walk into the promise of God. So what God did is he raised up another leader. And this leader's name was, does anybody know? Joshua. That's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Joshua chapter 1. God says, hey, Moses is dead. Now you're going to lead the people. And about three or four times, God tells Joshua, hey, be strong, be courageous. You can do this. I'm with you. Don't look back, okay? So that's where we pick up our story. So what we have right now is we have this new generation of believers. And we have a new leader named Joshua. And they're standing up. And they're able to see into the promised land. But the only thing that's separating them from the promised land is a river. And the river is called, does anybody know? It's called the Jordan River. So they're on this side. They want to get to the other side where the promised land is. But there's a river that's dividing them. And that's where we're going to pick up the story. So look at verses. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. They're ready. They just have to go forward. It says, so Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today, everybody say that, today. You will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, or whatever, the Amorites and the Jebusites ahead of you. Then he says, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, he will lead you across the Jordan River. Let's stop real quick. The Ark of the Covenant. What's that all about? Well, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the Lord. He would be the one that would lead and guide them. I want to let you know today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to let you know the presence of the Lord lives where? Inside of you. His name is what? The Holy Spirit. He'll lead us. He'll help us. So we have a great gift being a new covenant believer, okay? Let's pick it up again. It says, now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth. As soon, don't miss this, as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. I want you to look at verse 13 again. It says this, as soon as their feet touch the water. When's the miracle going to occur? When is the miracle going to occur? When is the water going to be cut off? It's going to be cut off when they take what? A step. When they step into the river, that's when the miracle will occur. This is how I visualize it. We're told that there were 12 priests. They were carrying what? The Ark of the Covenant. We're told in other parts of the scripture they carried the Ark with poles. So I see six guys on each side. And they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the first two, on the, they take a step and they're in the water. But how many people know the other five aren't in the water yet? They take another step so the next two can get in the water. Then the next three, the next four, the next five. Then finally the sixth group is in the water. How many people know the guys up front might be about chest deep by now? It wasn't a great day to be first, by the way, okay? Okay, just keep that in mind. That's just how I think about that at times, okay? Let's continue to read. So the people left their camp. And by the way, you got to realize how big of a group of people this is. Scholars say that this group of people is anywhere from 1 million to 3 million. That's what I've read in my studies. The children of Israel, this isn't just River Falls Assembly of God, all 100 of us, let's go. No, this is big time. 1 million to 3 million people. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was, everybody say that word together, overflowing. Overflowing, meaning there's current. There's activity in the water. It could be a little dangerous. It was overflowing at its banks. Look at the next line very carefully. Don't miss this. But as soon as the feet of the priest who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, as soon as that happened, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away in a town called Adam. By the way, historians believe that was 25 miles away. Wow. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbank was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. I think this is pretty amazing because if you're anything like me, and I think there's a lot of people that we can identify with this. If you're anything like me, you would have said things like, God, you know what? I know you want us to cross over. I know you made the promise that you're going to give us the promised land, the land of Canaan. Lord, I know that you're going to give us this land flowing with milk and honey. But Lord, I'll tell you what, soon as you show me how serious you are, then I'll take the step. God, when I see that the ground is dry, then I'll step in. Then I'll step in. I can't tell you how many times in my life that I think I really missed out on God and something that he wanted to do in me and through me because I was living this way, and that is that I was waiting for God to move first. I was waiting for God to make the conditions before me perfect. God, if you'll make everything perfect, then I'll do what you called me to do. There's a verse in the book of Ecclesiastes that says this, if you're waiting for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Can I say that again? If you're waiting for perfect conditions, you're never going to get anything done. If you're waiting for every I to be dotted, every T to be crossed, the wind to blow at a just light and variable, the sun at your back, if you're just waiting for everything to be perfect until you say, God, I'll move, you know what? I believe, and I say this with sincerity, I think you're going to miss out on a lot of things that God may want to do in your life if you're waiting for everything to be perfect. So may people, we wait, we wait. God, I'll do it when, no, go first. Okay, so let's move on. We got to read the rest of the story. Verse 17, the last verse of the day. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood on what kind of dry, or what kind of ground? Everybody say it together. Dry ground. Where at? In the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. Just put on your imagination cap with me for a minute. Think about this. 12 men, 12 priests standing in the middle of a riverbed on dry ground watching as a million to 3 million people are passing through. Let me ask you this question. Think, how do you think those priests felt? Don't say anything out loud. I just want you to think, how would you feel if you were one of those priests and you saw the people walking by? I thought about that this week and I thought to myself, I would be totally pumped up and excited. Is anybody with me? I think I would probably be holding the ark with one hand and I'd probably be giving people fist pumps, you know, bumps or high fives or at least, woo! I think I would be excited about saying, God, you use me. You use me to let this happen. How many people know it's totally exciting to be used by God? You know, Christianity is really boring. That's what a lot of people think. Oh, it's so boring. You go to church, there's a message that's not even relevant. It's the same thing week after week. I've tried to read my Bible. Oh, this is just boring. It looks like the partiers are having more fun than the believers, the children of God. I want to let you know, if you've ever thought that, you're not alone. I've thought that at times. And I thought that because there's a big misperception. And I want to say this morning. There are many exciting things that God would love to do. In you and through you. In me and through me. But he's waiting for people who are willing to get their feet wet first. They're not waiting for perfect conditions anymore. God, I'll go share my faith with my neighbor. God, I'll go pray for my neighbor. God, I'll go do this. But God, when you do this, then I'll do that. No, God's saying, hey, there's some exciting things that I want to do in you and through you. But you know what? You got to be willing to get your foot in the river. You need to be willing to get your feet wet. See, I discovered this in my life and through this reading this week is this, that God wants, I've discovered that often God, he wants us to take that step to go first. Because it's not until we take that first step does it take faith to go forward and do what we believe God is calling us to do. I'm not talking about foolish things. I'm not talking about things that would give us glory. I'm talking about we want to be used by God. We're obeying God. He's calling us to do certain things. And we're just waiting. And I want to let you know, I think we've got it backwards a lot of times. If we want to see God move, we got to be willing to take that first step. That first step. Am I speaking to anyone here this morning? Well, I'm going to start a ministry when everything is perfect. Well, good luck. You'll never start a ministry. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to step out and start the ministry and say, God, I'm stepping out in faith. Yes, I prayed. Now I'm stepping out. And now, God, I'm just stepping out in faith, believing that if just one person shows up, we're going to have a great meeting. How many people know that's a lot of times how God works? Just waiting for somebody to step up. Step up. I want to share a story with you. My parents were here they were here for Grant's graduation, so it would be 2 weeks ago. And one day I was talking with my dad, and my dad shared this story with me that I want to share with you this morning. My dad is from Dayton, Ohio, and the city of Dayton, all the area churches in Dayton decided they were going to have this outreach called I Love Dayton. where they were going to just show generosity to people that were without. They were going to give away food. They were going to give away clothing. They were just going to feed people in Dayton, Ohio, which is a difficult area economically right now. So all the area churches said, we're just going to show the people of Dayton love. So what they did is they started having these meetings. So they would choose certain churches where they would meet. And then all the leaders, all the people who said, yes, we want to be involved with this outreach, is they would go to these meetings, okay? So one night they had a Sunday night meeting, and they were leaving the meeting, and my dad was walking out by himself, and he saw this woman, and she had three little kids. She was an African-American woman that was living in the area where they were going to do the outreach, okay? And at that moment, my dad said that he felt God speaking to his heart. Does anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? There's times when God just, he lays something on your heart. There's an impression. There's something you just sense that God is really saying something to you. So my dad said, I sensed that the God was saying, go pray a blessing over that family. And he was waiting for perfect conditions. He said, God, when I get home tonight and I'm laying in bed, surely I'll pray for that family. God said, nope, I want you to do it right now. So with humility, my dad walked over to this lady and said, I know this is going to sound weird, but I really believe that God is laying it on my heart to pray a blessing over your family. And the lady just got radiant. She got excited. She said, sir, can you please just wait a minute? I want to go get the rest of my family. They're inside. So at that time, there was three of them. With the mother, there was four. My dad's waiting. It's 3 minutes. It's 4 minutes. It's about 7, 10 minutes. Finally, the lady comes out. By the time the whole family gets there, there is 14 people. 14 people. My dad was like, wow. So he started on the left, and he began to pray for every person in that family. And then this is what the Holy Spirit began to do. Because this is how Christianity is supposed to look. The Holy Spirit started to give him words of knowledge for each person. Specific things to pray about according to what they were going through. And my dad didn't know it, but the Holy Spirit speaking to him, pray for that person about this. And he said, man, it took about 15 minutes. We're out there in this parking lot in the darkness of the night praying. Finally, they got done. One of the little girls, like early in her elementary age, came up and tapped him on the shoulder or on the leg and said, hey, mister, can I pray for you? That story's so boring. That story's boring if you go home and you just miss out and say, God, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I'll pray with them when they're inside the church walls and they come up for prayer, and then I'll pray for them. How many people know that opportunity may never, ever come? But what happens to our Christianity when we begin to say, God, I know you're calling me to do something, and I want to be obedient to you. And God, that means I got to step out into the water and get my toes wet, get my feet wet, my legs wet. God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. How many people know God just didn't leave us here on earth to wait until we die so we can go to heaven? How many people know you're all called to be ministers? And God wants us to just blow out of this place today. And we're to go out and now we're to begin to live a life where we touch people. We make a difference in people's life. Could it be that there will be people that never come into this church to hear a wonderful message? Wink, wink, okay? Could it be that you're the only person standing between someone and God and he's waiting for you and God's speaking to your heart? This is what I want you to do. God, I don't want to do that. It's weird. It's very uncomfortable. And God said, no, missed opportunity. Let me ask you two questions as we close this morning. You may want to write these down, especially if you're keeping a prayer journal. What is God asking you to do? Here's your homework this week. Will you take time to allow God to speak to you? God, what do you want me to do? A couple weeks ago, I really believed that God put an impression on my heart. Mike, you need to be more kind. You need to be more kind. You're not kind. You need to be more kind. So I'm walking home from work on a busy day with a lot to do, and I saw my neighbors putting up a canopy for a graduation. And God said, "That's it. Go offer your help to put up the canopy." I'm like, "God, they already got two guys over there. That's plenty. They don't need a third guy." And we went over there, and we were so confused. It took about an hour, literally, to put up a canopy. And I didn't have the answers. The other guy said, but God said, "You know what? I'm not calling you to have all the answers, but I'm calling you to be what? Obedient." So what is it that God may be calling you to do? Start a ministry? Befriend an individual? Ask for forgiveness? The list is endless. What it could be that God wants to speak to you, because I believe God speaks to people through His Word, through impressions that line up with His Word. What is God asking you to do? Number two, what step or steps do you need to take to obey God? So this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to have your radar, your antennas up. I want you to begin your day with this prayer: God, give me an opportunity to be used by you today. And when you pray that prayer, you're going to be so aware of opportunities that are around you that you may not have been aware of until you prayed and said, "God, make me aware." Amen? And I tell you what, too many people are giving up on Christianity because it's just no fun. It's just boring. And I want to say, hey, you want to begin living the abundant life that Jesus wants you to live? Get engaged with His plans. Amen? Get engaged with His plans. I love one of the thoughts by Mark Batterson in that chapter. He said, if you're upset and you're tired because God's not doing anything in your life, then do something. Hello? Then do something. Obey. Take a step. Believe God that He wants to use you. The Creator of the universe wants to use us. You. Me. Not because we're perfect. We're broken. We're fragile. But now we're new creations in Christ. We're redeemed. Now He wants to use us to touch the world, to show people His love. Amen? Can we bow our heads? Father, we thank You for Your desire to partner with Your people. And Lord, it's a partnership to change a world. It's a partnership of redemption. It's a partnership to expand the kingdom. It's a partnership to influence people for Your glory, for Your kingdom. And Father, I just pray right now that You would use us, broken vessels, but people who are filled with Your Spirit, people who have been redeemed. Lord, You're not only using Mark Batterson's, You're using all of us. You're no respecter of people. These stories we read about that we get excited about are things that You want to do in our lives, but are we willing to step out? Are we willing to step out in obedience? Are we willing to step out in faith? Are we willing to build an ark when it hasn't ever rained? I mean, come on. So God, I just pray that You would place within us courage, that You would place within us faith, that You would place within us a heart for You and for others. And Lord, help us this week to have a greater awareness of what You want to do. What You want to do in us so that You can do something great through us. And Lord, really, it's nothing to do about us. It's all about You. And Lord, I don't pray that only for us as individuals. I pray that for us as a church. God, that You would do mighty things through us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.